Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight to have you on board, and we always look forward to your call-in dialogue and discussion. One of the things that makes this broadcast exciting, informative, and challenging is when you, our listener, participate. We've designed this broadcast around the Q&A format where you can call in, ask your questions, give your dialogue. Some people use the term, I want to have my 2 cents worth heard. That's wonderful. Be delighted to hear from you. Let me remind you that call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I generally like to do that early on because oftentimes I get caught up and involved in the dialogue and discussion and fail to remind you. You can dial 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your thoughts and suggestions, your dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And today we're going to be talking about, by the way, the title simply is Pot on the 2020 Ballot. Pot on the 2020 Ballot. You're exactly right. In the state of Florida, we have pot, marijuana. For recreational use, it's on the November 2020 ballot by way of a constitutional amendment. I don't have anything that's any further from beneficial or a blessing for the citizens of the state of Florida. Nothing that's any more detrimental and dangerous than that issue. We'll be talking about that. We'll have an elongated monologue, dialogue, and discussion getting to the very point of dealing with that amendment. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is very, very clear in the Scripture that the only source book for truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we're not free outside of the truth. You might think that you are. You might feel that somehow, some way, that you're above having to go to the Bible to find definitive truth. But the only source book for truth is the Word of God. Jesus said himself in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he declares what truth is. He says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, truth seems to be an elusive term today. Truth seems to be something that is up for debate as to what is truth. It was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we find in our society today. In fact, one of the greatest little tidbits about truth that I've discovered in recent years is by the theologian, 15th century theologian and church reformer, that said this: faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. So I believe that's a challenge that I'd like to extend each and every day on this broadcast to you, our listeners, is to simply listen to the truth, seek the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, defend the truth, tell the truth. I believe that's what God would have us to do as Christians today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. By the way, they have a full line of landscape and lawn care equipment. for the professional as well as the homeowner. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment and has a full line of Honda generators. They have an knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about generation for the home and or lawn care equipment and how you can use it. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there with a U.S. flag on it, about 165 foot tall. That gigantic flag flowing 24/7. Find the flagpole. Find the flag. The base of that flagpole and the flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, pot on the 2020 ballot. Let me remind you, in case you've not noticed it, we are living in the last days that Paul speaks about to young Timothy when he says, knowing this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating days. And we're in those days. It's not a matter of coming. They're present. Perilous times have, in fact, arrived. And so as I mention that to you, I want us to understand that we're dealing with an issue that's a demonic issue, a demonic issue. Keep in mind in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That which we're dealing with in relationship to marijuana, our pot, and vaping, and all of the other delivery sources, and we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast, it's as a result of demonic powers, demonic influences, and as a result of the battle that we're faced with, and that battle is against Satan and all of his demons. But ladies and gentlemen, we have state laws and federal laws that are designed to protect our children. Now listen very carefully. Your teacher, your child's school teacher, cannot and will not give your child an aspirin unless you're present or you sign off on it, giving them the authorization to do so. That's the law to protect your child. We have laws that will relegate and determine exactly what kind of car seat, what size and shape, what strength and quality is required to make sure your child is protected while riding in that automobile. We have baby toys and child toys. In fact, any Christmas season, you can look at the toys by the thousands for children. It'll tell you on the side of the box what age group that toy is beneficial for and can be used. And will tell you what age group or what age child or individual that cannot use that toy because it might have small pieces that could cause the child to choke. Now listen, I'm not advocating and militating against those laws. But I'm using that as the backdrop of the illustration that they're all designed supposedly to protect our children. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that in Psalms 127 and in verse 3, it says, our children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And we have the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, of watching over, taking care of, nourishing, and training our children. But yet in the state and the governmental laws and regulations and those that are in charge, even though they might say they're interested in your child and ours and our grandkids, literally, ladies and gentlemen, the laws that, if these laws that are set up, that are called child care, child protection laws, the ones that are in force, if they are broken, if a parent breaks the law in that realm, or a child care worker, that individual could be charged with child abuse, or child neglect, and could be fined or sentenced to time in prison. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, these same state after state after state and federal laws are being today developed and designed based on what the officials are being paid by the pot lobbyists, the marijuana lobbyists. These same laws are being expanded, ladies and gentlemen, allowing marijuana by way of growth and inhalation and the vaping. By the way, vaping is simply a slick means to provide marijuana for the teens that otherwise they would not be able to get, is the bottom line. And yet otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, these laws are supposedly designed to protect our children, but they are not protecting our children, ladies and gentlemen. Naturally, our city and our state and our federal government are scrambling on a national level to stop the epidemic of opioids. And listen, I'm for that. In fact, on a federal level, I believe something like $150 billion was set aside. The state of Florida, I believe, was $50 million was set aside back last year to interdict and somehow prevent people from getting into the opioids. I believe the last count was right at 200 people a day are dying across America as a result of opioids. And that's a horrible number, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to understand that these same city, state, and national governmental agencies that supposedly trying to stop the opioids, these same they're opening the doors at the same time as the gateway drug, which is marijuana. You've heard me talk about this before on these broadcasts, but I'm getting very, very concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen, have been for quite some time, but more concerned as we get closer to the date that we'll have the marijuana on the ballot for 2020 ballot, November of this year, for the state of Florida to vote. During the course of this broadcast, I want you to decide whether or not you want marijuana to be legalized on a recreational basis in the state of Florida. I want you to call me at 831-0917, 831-0917. Tell me what you think about it, whether you're for it, whether you're against it, why you're for it, why you're against it, and what you think should be done. How do you think Christians, conservatives, what do you think we ought to do as moms and dads and grandparents in relationship to the protection of our sons and daughters and grandkids? How should we respond? Should we sit in silence? I have said very recently, it's rare to hear, if ever you hear, a pastor from the pulpit condemning what is taking place in this realm. It is rare to hear anyone that is a, quote, conservative Christian standing on the soapbox any place in the public arena and making a statement against these unholy, ungodly, demonic laws that's destroying our sons and our daughters. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Contrary to what you might think, in fact, we have a lot of folks today that lived back in the 60s and they puffed the joint, puffed the marijuana, and they think, well, if I did, it won't hurt my child. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There is no FDA regulation or standard that regulates the pot marijuana industry today. Each state decides what they want to do, and the decision is guided by and controlled by the marijuana industry, ladies and gentlemen, not by the politician, not by those that are passing the laws, but it is decided based upon how much money the marijuana pot lobbyists put into the election coffers of the city, state, and federal election process and those that are running as candidates for office. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the scrambling across the nation. By the way, there's about 33 states today that have legalized marijuana laws. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a push now in relationship to the delivery system called vaping that is getting the attention of multitudes across our nation, and it ought to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, marijuana, whether it is vaped or inhaled by marijuana cigarettes or ingested by the gummy bears and the chocolate chip cookies, etc., and I'll talk more about that later in the broadcast, but regardless of the way it is ingested, it is the open door, it is the gateway to all other drugs. It's the gateway, ladies and gentlemen, for heroin and fentanyl and cocaine and the opioids. Why would our city, our state, or the national leaders do this? As I said a moment ago, it's simply because the M-O-N-E-Y, the money, the marijuana lobbyists, the marijuana industry, are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to the elected officials for the expansion of the marijuana laws in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say at this juncture, it ought not surprise us, those that are central biblicists, that recognize in the scripture, especially found in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 23, that the scripture says, by sorceries were all nations deceived. The word sorceries there is the word pharmakeia. It means drugs. And drugs, ladies and gentlemen, bring about the poison to the mind. It brings about the opening of the door of demons in the minds and the hearts of individuals that have ingested those ungodly, unholy materials. Ladies and gentlemen, parents are losing our children. Our families are being destroyed financially and emotionally. Yet this push to further expand the wicked, evil drug market in America absolutely astounds me. Parents are today struggling to find an answer or some type of assistance in a system that absolutely refuses to admit that pot kills our teenagers and our young people. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, as marijuana-induced psychosis rises, parents say treatment for young people gets harder and harder to find. This article says, when Garrett Riggs moved from a transitional living program facility near Chicago last month into a group home, it was a major milestone for the 27-year-old who traveled 1,000 miles from his home in Denver, Colorado. Now, it's important for you to recall that this lad, 27 years old, had traveled 1,000 miles with the help of his parents to a drug treatment program facility in Chicago. And the milestone has been reached when he has been able to be released out to a group home. But the article says he traveled 1,000 miles from his home in Denver, Colorado, to get treatment after a cannabis-induced psychosis break, 5 years ago. Riggs, the young man, had to leave his hometown because it lacked suitable long-term treatment, according to his mother, Connie. The three marijuana dispensaries at the intersection only one half block from her home are the reason, she says, they cannot move back to Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, in Colorado, this article, for example, vivifies it. Within a half block, there are three pot shops, three marijuana dispensaries within a half block of her home. This article further says, as marijuana increasingly becomes legalized, parents of children who make up the mounting cases of cannabis-induced psychosis and other mental illnesses say treatment is far less available than the pot and its availability that is linked with the conditions. Further, the article says, frequent use of high-potency pot caused the mental illness, or it would have occurred anyway. They're saying, ladies and gentlemen, and the totality of the article, that there are a lot of folks that are saying, well, that psychosis could have happened anyway. No, it did not take place other than under the use of pot. This article says, the rise of psychosis and schizophrenia and suicide among the youth, heavy users, comes amid a shortage in doctors and facilities to treat the patients. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem all over the state of Colorado, the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, D.C., Washington State, California, et cetera, et cetera. As the whole society is being drugged out with pot, they do not have enough facilities to, in any form or fashion, meet the need of trying to help those that are using pot and destroying their mind. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Colorado alone, every $1 that they take in pot taxes, they're spending $4 on social services in the state of Colorado. The state of California is just about as bad. And the major thing that induces these state agencies, the state governmental leadership, government, governors, and the legislative bodies to pass the pot laws is because of the inducement of the major amount of tax money that comes in that they can frivol away as they normally do on things that help ingratiate the South and line their pockets. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, Lori Robinson is the founder of Mom Strong, a group that works to educate people on the connection between marijuana, mental illness, and suicide. Her son Shane died by suicide in 2012 after two hospitalizations for psychosis in 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, this particular article says further, parents struggle to convince their young adult children that marijuana led to or worsened their condition. some including Sharon Burns, Sharon Burns Southern, lost the battle. Her 24-year-old son started having schizophrenic episodes 6 months before he died by suicide in 2018. Quote, "We had taken him to a clinic for help twice, but he wouldn't let himself be admitted, and there was nothing we could do," the Illinois mom said. "He kept saying he wanted to quit on his own," end quote. Further, she says, from the window of her two-story home in Denver, in the neighborhood of the Lower Highlands, Riggs' mother watches the mentally disturbed patients, residents of the nearby subsidized apartment building, walk back and forth to the corner pot shop, end quote. They're already in subsidized housing. They're there, ladies and gentlemen, in this particular case, because it's a kind of what you'd call a halfway house of trying to get them off the marijuana, off the pot. And yet this mother says she watches as they travel back and forth across the street to the pot dispensary to get their pot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to stop the epidemic of the opioids until we stop legalizing marijuana across America. As I said earlier, some 33 states now have legalized pot. This article says, here's one, Democrats pushing to legalize recreational use of marijuana don't understand its true effect. Ladies and gentlemen, I think if I could pause just for reading that title, I think that is we're misunderstanding it. I think they fully understand it, but they're insulated and isolated, their penthouses wherever they may live, and with their walls and gates and security, and they're not concerned about the general public and the death, the dying, and the havoc that it causes in the homes, as it being pot being the gateway to all other hard drugs. But this article does say, Democrats pushing to legalize recreational use of marijuana don't understand its true effect. This article says, I don't think that Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey read my column earlier this week, which I cautioned against the potential long-term side effect of chronic marijuana use, which includes behavioral problems, problems with memory, problems with judgment, anxiety, depression, paranoia, yes, even schizophrenia. And the article further says presidential hopefuls and all of the presidential hopefuls are sponsoring or co-sponsoring bills that would expunge criminal records of those that have been charged with using marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, that just simply opens the door to further induce those that would like to be in the marijuana industry without any concern about getting caught, tried, convicted because of getting the record expunged. In fact, many of our states today, ladies and gentlemen, have decriminalized marijuana, that is pot. They've decriminalized it to the point that those that are buying it, those that are selling it, those that are using it, they understand and they realize that it'll simply be a rap on the knuckles and perhaps a small fine, and it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not okay. May I tell us today that the legalization of marijuana, they do not recognize the deadly harm, or they simply ignore the harm just because of the tax dollars that they're bringing into the state. With the approximately $6.5 billion a year going into the coffers as tax money in the state of California alone. The state of Colorado is now at a panic level, my term, not theirs, a panic level due to the legalization of marijuana in the state of Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Colorado, we're seeing an epidemic of pot use, and as a result of that, destroying the citizenry in the state of Colorado. Teens and preteens and overdose are absolutely, the number is absolutely staggering. Foreclosures of homes because of spending money on pot and not on rent or on a house payment is taking place at an exponential rate. We're finding, ladies and gentlemen, crime in the state of Colorado has gone up some 547%. Automobile homicides up due to drugged out drivers. The so-called black market of pot sales have skyrocketed. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, they were induced to pass the legislation in the state of Colorado on the basis that if we make it legal, then it would stop the black market of pot. And ladies and gentlemen, the so-called black market, that is the untaxed market of pot in the state of Colorado, has now surpassed the legal marijuana, as it is called in the state of Colorado. Denver, Colorado now has to live with urination and defecation on the streets due to the drugged out campers that are camped out and are living on the sidewalks. Rapes and robberies and home invasions increased exponentially. Domestic violence has increased. teen suicide and overdose deaths in Colorado has increased majorly. But ladies and gentlemen, lest you think that marijuana, that is pot, is sold just simply as a open, visible, understandable, recognizable drug, let me correct that thinking. Marijuana is sold in every state that has marijuana laws, sold as in the form of chocolate chips, chocolate chip candy bars, chocolate chip cookies, gummy bears, chewing gum, cookies in general, lip gloss, makeup, lotions and creams, cigarettes, e-cigarettes, vaping, if you please. And we'll talk about that more in this broadcast. Vaping. So kids can have easy access to the pot use. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I am fearful that even as you are listening, you're not understanding, not fathoming the grave danger to any state where pot becomes open and legal. It's bad enough in the state of Florida now, since it was legalized as medical marijuana in 2016. Finally, the enabling legislation took place in early part of 2017, and then the laws on the books, and we'll talk about that further in the broadcast. John Morgan and the Morgan Law Firm laughed in a drunken stupor, saying that that was simply the gateway that would allow them to get the legislation introduced later for recreational use. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that pot is epidemic in America today. Colorado is now in the process of setting up safe sites for drugged out people to get clean needles and to get another high at taxpayers' expense. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us that in the last days we'd be living in a drugged out culture. That doesn't mean we need to openly embrace it. That doesn't mean that we need to sit back and do nothing. But ladies and gentlemen, those that are on pot, those that are opening the gateway to heroin and cocaine and fentanyl and opioids as a result of using pot. Pot is a major, major problem today that causes opioid addiction, mental illness, depression, psychosis, schizophrenia, the loss of jobs, ultimately dependent upon the state for its financial future. It causes lung disease, heart failure, high blood pressure, suicides, laziness, and fatigue. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but suffice it to say, we have a major problem, and that problem is in the state of Florida, where it's going to be on the ballot in November of this year. And the question that I challenge us with and that we need to ask and answer is, what are we going to do in relationship to that? How should we respond to this, which is inundating our state? And what shall we do about it as conservatives and as Christians? Should we sit back in silence? What should we do? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today the fad for the youth and all the millennials is that of vaping. Vaping. Perhaps you've heard that term. In fact, it was just on the morning news again with the horrors of vaping in some of the states that are legalized it, some of the states that are trying to ban it, some of the states that have judges that are trying to discard any attention or any approach to banning the vaping in the state. State after state after state, ladies and gentlemen, are making vaping legal. And now the fad is to have vaping. But ladies and gentlemen, the sad results that's revealing the high, high dangers of vaping. Kids are vaping marijuana 78% more than they're vaping nicotine and flavors. And ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of those that are for the vaping will tell you, well, they're just vaping because of the flavors, or they're just vaping as a alternative to smoking a cigarette. That's simply not true, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to talk about it right after the top of the hour news. We're going to have talk at the top of the hour news, ladies and gentlemen, about 1 minute. And then we'll come back to Let's Face the Issues and continue our conversation today about pot on the 2020 ballot. Stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.